What I've learned in my life is that whenever you do something and you don't feel like it, or you do feel like it, just always make the best of it. So don't do it with complaints. If you decide to do something, go for it, or just don't bother. Because doing something, but then being like grumpy all the time is not good for anyone in business or in personal life. So that's, I used to sometimes do something and not feel like it and be like, oh, I really don't want to do this, all the time. But now when I go for something, I try to just get into it, dig in, don't complain, try to put a smile on my face, and that usually helps the whole process.
My guys, get ready for another queen of the sports world. She is the definition of a do-it-all, and by that I mean it all. She's an Olympic gold medal with the Dutch field hockey team, pro poker player, TV presenter, singer, paddle player, you name it, she did it. Her approach to life is just so energizing, her vibe is addictive. And I hope you just want to get out there after listening to this episode and make your hobby your career too. I definitely do. Not only listening to her head coach was super healing for me, but I felt throughout the whole episode kind of like I'm being coached a little bit myself. She was so open and vulnerable for us and shares her story about a very sensitive moment that was so very public too. And I'm just so grateful to learn again that life and work can be fun and colorful and spontaneous and everything that you want it to be if you and I have the courage to follow our hearts. As always, please let me know how you like this by giving us a review or comment or a follow even. We would love to have you on the team. And now, enjoy this new episode with Fátima Moreira de Melo. That is so interesting because doing my research on you, it's really striking how much you're out there at like whatever you do. And we'll dig into all the different things that you do in just a second. And I was wondering, looking at you, I wonder how she approaches life.
Well, that's honestly basically it. Like also, like I have companies that I work for, like I had a deal with PokerStars for 10 years, an online gambling brand. And of course, in any kind of job, there's things that you like and things that you don't like. And in field hockey, where I used to be on the Dutch team, I mean, I love running after a ball, but I don't love running intervals, in my holidays.
Yeah, no.
But then if I start thinking about all the things that I don't like about the things within the things that I do like, it becomes way heavier and harder to do. So what I just try to do is focus on the things that I like and that the things that I don't like are just part of it, like in a relationship, with my boyfriend, I love him, but there's things about him, snoring in the middle of the night. No, I don't like it, but it's all part of the package. So I try to take it, I take it not with a grain of salt, but I just try to mentalize and just go through it and not complain about it, as well as in like, if I make a deal with a company, but then I feel halfway, I messed up, I should have gotten more out of this, don't complain about it halfway. No, next year is my next chance. So, think in advance how you want to negotiate the deal and then don't start complaining halfway because you should have thought of that before. So it's also about taking accountability for what you can foresee. So think about it in advance. And I like negotiating a bit stronger, before we start working together, then, oh yeah, we're working now, but hey, I don't really like the fact that you don't pay me expenses, for food or stuff, because it's pretty expensive. Well, think of that before. It's like having a kid and then saying, oh yeah, it's hard work. Oh my God.
No sleep.
No sleep. Oh, no kidding. You should have thought about that before. Oh, a puppy. Oh, he pees in the house. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We all know that. So it's about taking accountability, thinking about things in advance. And then once you're on board, don't fucking complain. Just accept the situation and go for it. That's what I find is very functional. It's not always easy, right? It's not always easy.
And that's actually what I was about to ask, because, like, let's stick with the snoring example. You realize the situation that's annoying you. How do you, like, what do you do mentally in order to stay in the good mood, in the good place?
Well, I push him so he lays on his side. When it continues, I put in my earplugs and I'm on my phone a little bit to just get away from the situation. And I don't get angry because, I mean, it's like whatever it is. So if you want to sleep and you get angry, it's very hard to fall asleep. So I just lay there, accept the fact that this is going on, try to reduce, you know, whatever, the noise.
Internal stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And then but I know this is the case sometimes, right? So it's like accepting the fact that I'm very solution oriented. So I always, what I used to do in my life is always keep trying to find the solution. Also, when friends of mine complain about something, I always offer a solution right away. Sometimes it's not what people want. Sometimes they just want to talk about something and just vent. I'm the kind of person that has to understand when to accept that I can't find the solution, which I find hard. I just keep going.
But that's just, what is it, the hardest thing, probably.
Exactly. And or if you lie awake in the middle of the night, stop thinking about the solution, because sometimes the solution is to accept. But that's, you know, for people that like to find a solution for every problem, it's harder to find the point where to accept the fact that accepting is the solution. Or people can complain about being fat or something, being overweight, not liking their body. You know, with women, we have that. We're very critical about our bodies. And, you know, the question is whether that's good or not. But, that's a fact that we're pretty critical.
Fair, yeah.
But at some point, I feel like, okay, either start doing something about it, whether it's liposuction, how do you call the drug? Ozempic, working out, eating less, going to a dietitian, or just accept the fact that you're a bit fuller, that your size is not 36, 42 or 56, whatever, and accept the fact that there's choices in life that you could make to maybe weigh a little less, or, you know, like do something about it. Or sometimes doing something about it is just accepting it and just being like, okay, fuck it. I'm in my summer body any time of the year. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But don't keep complaining about the fact that you're full and then do the same shit all over again, because then you're gonna just keep complaining.
I already love this. Next question would be, what if you are aware that you're not happy about whatever situation you're in, you want to make a change, you're willing to do whatever it takes, but it's not that obvious. It's not like you want to lose weight or you want to sleep better at night, so you, I don't know, sleep in another room. The solution is not that obvious. How do you approach that? Because, you know, it's not like yes or no, I just go with that or I just go with that, but it's more like, how do you find the way if there's no path yet?
If you're just not happy or something, or if you don't know what you want to do. Or,
for example, let's say you want to change the job, but you don't know what else you want to do instead, you know? You know that you want to make a change, but obviously you're not just quitting.
Ready. Yeah. What I've always done in my life, because I knew I was a field hockey player and I studied law because I knew as a field hockey player, I could get injured. I could not get selected. I knew I wasn't gonna make my income, you know, from that my entire life. So what I always did, I diversified. A lot of people think, okay, I'm gonna put all my eggs in one basket. And a lot of soccer players do that because they think, okay, if I make it, then, you know, but then a lot of them don't make it and a lot of them get injured. And I think having a safety net and developing yourself in different areas is something that's very useful in life, because you should never get to the point where you are so dependent on either one person or either one thing that you're good at. And then not knowing what else you can do. Because I always said in my life, I didn't like get born just to run after a ball with a stick. I wasn't born for hockey. I was very good at it, but it's not the only thing that I as a human being was able to do in my life. You know, I don't think anyone who's good at something is only good at that certain thing. So I think developing yourself as a person is actually the answer to never really getting to the point where it's like, oh my God, what do I do now? Because if you develop yourself along the way and not just focus on just your job, you know, and being just making the money and then going home and, you know, just, but about, it's also about personal development while you do the things you do. I think what I love in athletes as well, like the tennis players I like, are the guys that are able to really be good at the thing they do. Like an Alcaraz is very good at playing tennis, but he can really like clap for a good point, even if he's like, even if it's an important point that he loses, because he thinks about, hey, this, I'm giving credits to my opponent because he just hit a very good shot. And I love this game and this is beautiful tennis and I'm part of this. So more of like the helicopter view that you can sometimes look at things from like a distance and not just only from your perspective, that helps in life and that helps you develop as a person. Because in the end, you're always in your own little world. Like I know as a former athlete, you're always like, oh, so focused on your position in the team. And are you playing enough? And no. And once you're out of it, you're like, Jesus, yeah, no one really gives a fuck. Only I give a fuck. So it matters because it matters to me. But becoming a nicer person or a more well-rounded person, someone that maybe couldn't say sorry, but now can say sorry, or I'm a person that when someone would be talking, I'm very quick. So I interfere a lot, you know, like I just cut in all the time. And I think it's all very important what I have to say. But sometimes it's just way better to let someone else talk. And my boyfriend was very good at pointing that out right at the start of our relationship. And it helped me a lot in life. It was very hard to hear for me at first, but I was like, I thought I was just, you know, making everything more fun. But actually, I was just quite annoying during some conversations. Well, you know, I just take it in sometimes, you know, without the buts. But I mean well. Yeah, you can mean well, but it can be fucking annoying.
It's still interrupting. Yeah. Interesting. So, oh, so cool.
So I think the answer to that for me would be diversify and explore your options, and you don't have to quit a job before already trying to give some of your time to something that interests you and that might also work for you. Like maybe you would try a podcast on the side while you have other work, but because it interests you, you make some time free for that. And it doesn't have to be something that you make money from right away, but it can be something you develop in, and even your interviewing skills can become better, you know. So it can be aligned with it and be a bit of a side path, but that can be your safety net.
So interesting. And I love the fact that you use the word diversify, because looking at your CV, I feel that that's what you've been doing your entire life. And in this podcast, we have this kind of fun activity for our guests where they introduce themselves kind of like in a FIFA card, probably, you know, where players list all their best skills. And I would love to hear what the skills would be or the facts that we need to know about you, Fatima.
Oh, my goodness.
And I mean, you don't have to focus on running and physical skills and defensive skills, but rather like what, you know, what does someone need to know who's listening to your voice for the first time?
Well, I'm Fatima Moreira de Mello, which is like a weird name for a Dutch person. born in Holland, but half Portuguese. First love was field hockey, just running after a ball, played for my country. Holland, went to 3 Olympics, Sydney, Athens, and Beijing. We won bronze, silver, and gold. I quit after the gold in Beijing. Then started playing poker. Traveled the world for 10 years as a poker player. Then started playing padel. now tournament director for Premier Padel Ahoy, this September. And I love dogs. This is the second dog that we've adopted. Unfortunately, our first one is not there anymore, but Lila from Lesbos is still with us. So big dog lover. And that's about it, I guess.
And I mean, what I still find interesting too is, the degree in criminal law that you kind of touched upon earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did that too.
I did that, but I didn't enjoy it. So it's not part of my identity for some reason.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Interesting.
I just leave it out.
Never used it.
Yeah, I'm master in law. Yeah, I don't like it.
But it happened still.
Yeah, it happened.
You also pursued a TV presenting.
Oh yeah,
and,
I do that too.
I mean,
yes,
career.
I'm a sports analyst for RTL Boulevard. It's like a daily show in Holland. I'm not there daily, but whenever they do something. So yesterday, I was on TV about Zandvoort, for example. You know, I won't. Yeah, whatever. So I do that too. Yes. I love singing as well. I tried a career in that.
Yeah.
That did not work. I tried and it was too hard to go from hockey player to singer right away. And to be honest, I also the lifestyle didn't really appeal to me. Like
also,
these days I'm in bed by 9:30 in the evening with the dog and the boyfriend.
And you would have had to stay up longer.
You know what I mean?
As a singer. Okay.
So the older I get, the earlier I want to just chill and
sleep.
I want sleep. Yeah. I sleep and chill, you know, just unwind and relax. And I think also in hindsight, like I love to sing for myself, you know, I'm not really a performer.
Mm-hmm.
I get too nervous if I'm in front of a crowd and I have to sing. Yeah,
people can't see my face right now, but I was like shocked, frozen right there.
No, I've done a TV show and
surprising.
I had to sing. I had to sing in a TV show and it was called It Takes Two. And we sang duets with like famous Dutch singers. And my intention was to enjoy it. It did not happen. I had so much stress during that show. I made it to the finals, but I just didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed picking the songs, you know, just going on Spotify, picking the songs and then going to singing lessons and learning to sing better. And, you know, I loved that. But being on that stage, having to just throw it out there and just being, I don't know. It felt just a little... I don't mind being vulnerable, but this was just next level vulnerable, I think. And I just didn't enjoy it, I felt. So
that's so interesting because technically, you know, standing in front of a camera is similar at least for the TV stuff than the poker game. Some of them were TV productions.
Oh, I love the TV stuff about it. No, I'm good at that. But what happened to me, I think...
Which is big to... I said, plus the field hockey, too. That's big in the Netherlands as well. And you guys get pretty big crowds. So I feel like it's kind of been there for you.
Yeah, the pressure.
All the life, no?
Yeah. Well, I made one. I did something that I didn't calculate my risk correctly. Right after we won the gold medal in Beijing, a couple months later, I was asked to perform at this huge live TV award show, and I had to sing live in Dutch. I don't like singing in Dutch. And I said yes to it. And I even like some performers don't sing live at that, but I did, being a rookie, you know. And it didn't go that well. It went okay, but not well. And then the presenter made a joke about it in front of millions of people watching, and also in that, like, it was in Carré, which is very famous theater in Amsterdam, and it was broadcasted live. And that cut so deep that I didn't sing in public for like 7 years until that TV show came up. And I was like, I'm not the person to hide from this. I should just get over it because I love to sing and I can sing very well, actually. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And then I'm going to try to find my love for singing and singing on stage back. But I just, either it has been broken by that, because the pressure is next level high, but I took that on. And it went okay. I got through it and I got to the finals of that show, but mm-hmm. I just didn't enjoy it. Maybe I was just too aware of the vulnerability of it, because mm-hmm. I'm still on live TV talking and I'm still, you know, fine with doing performances like either with Padel, you know, like a demo
and it's
or something.
Interesting. Or on TV even, you always went like, oh, I'm nervous right now. Oh my God, I'm feeling uncomfortable. So it's so interesting. You've always been expressing your feelings, which is very vulnerable.
Yes, exactly. And it was with the singing that really, because it's something that I've been doing since a kid, right? It was my meditation. And it's where I'm pretty straightforward, and I'm talkative, and I'm loud, and I'm lippy. But with singing, I really get to my softer side, like with dogs.
I love that.
Yeah, but like,
girl, yeah, showing that in front of everyone and then getting a negative feedback is wild.
Yeah, so this makes me emotional because I feel it. So that's something that never really, I think the best way to explain it is when you have your first love and he breaks up with you, and then after that, it sounds really terrible right now, but I'm okay. After your first love, you know, your second love is never the same, because you know your heart can be broken.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big... hey, Lila! Hello!
Bubba's back!
Hello!
She felt your emotions.
Yeah, she came in. She was going out for a pee, and then she came back. So I think it never... You're never... you know your heart can be broken, so it's never going to be the same, right? Like in the back of your head. So I tried that show and I tried hard and it went okay.
Yeah, you did.
But I couldn't really enjoy it like in that form anymore, you know, on a stage.
Yes. Would you say the singing career was like a proper dream of yours before?
It was a bit like during my hockey career, I went into the studio sometimes and recorded some things, and it was not something I invested enough in, I think. Mm-hmm. I didn't like go to singing lessons. I got singing lessons when I went to that TV show, which was awesome because I was like,
imagine this.
But I got pretty popular during my hockey career. So you kind of get pushed in that direction, because once I just sang on stage after a final of a World Cup, and, you know, then I got a record deal like from this agency, and I kind of got into it. I rolled into it, you know, but it wasn't like my focus. So when after 2008 Beijing happened and I got invited, I was like, oh, let's just do this, because this could be a nice entry to something new and a launch. Although I have to say, I don't know if I would have been the type to travel around Holland or whatever, Europe, to promote my record and be on stage every night. I'm not a party animal. So, you know, I don't know if the lifestyle would have suited me, to be honest, but I love to sing. So I was like, well, it's something that I love doing and I like it better than studying law, which it's like the safety net thing. So I think I was just... overrated myself, my singing skills in 2008. I thought I could do it, but I was very nervous. And when you're nervous, your voice trembles and
changes. Yeah, of course.
It's just hard. And I should have gotten singing lessons for that particular song, you know, to sing that well. And I probably shouldn't have sang it live like many artists do, you know, like just record it and then sing over the tape. That's what people do. But I just didn't have the experience. So it cost me, but it's also something in my life, like a lot of things in my life went really well. So I'm grateful for that. And I have to take accountability for the things that don't go well. And that just, it wasn't a good decision of mine to do it. But hey, that's me too. I dive into things and I dare doing them. And then I'd rather try them and then fail or not be as good than just be afraid to try, right? Like a lot of people are afraid to try something because they might fail. Oh, well, you fail. I failed at that, but oh, well, you know, I live on and I have a very good life. And this is a little point that still, when I talk about it deeply, it hurt me somewhere because it's something that ruined my experience of singing. That's basically not my career in singing, whatever. I don't give a shit about that. But it's more about where, you know, when you love something and like a dog or a person, and then it kind of gets taken away from you because of a situation. Yeah. And I'm part of that situation, right? So that's why I think calling it like a breakup with your first love, I think that's a similar, you know, and then you get over it and whatever, but you know, it's never, you know, you know what can happen now.
It's still,
you know,
there,
how
it
can feel. It's never as free. It's never as free.
Yeah, I totally understand. And thinking about this and hearing this, and obviously I can relate somehow. Everyone, I feel, has had something that, you know, cut so deep with something that they care or cared so deeply about. I, until this day, keep making the mistakes if things like that happen, to like kind of the way you did, but you sounded so clear about it. I take stuff personally. And I would blame myself and I would go, I'm not good enough. I, you know, I am not valuable as a person. Stuff
in general,
like,
and you so, generalize like one little part that you make a mistake in and then project it on your whole being.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No, that doesn't happen to me.
Okay, I was just about to ask because I can imagine that an experience like that could have, brought me into the area of struggling with confidence. And you don't seem like you're not confident right now.
No.
Yeah.
It's the same as like, I think if someone has been in prison, they're not only a criminal. You know, I think a person is like all the behaviors and all the feelings, and it's a very complex being, right? So you're everything that you do and you can do and you can't do. And I don't mind being bad at some stuff and being good at other stuff. And I hope I recognize it quicker and quicker the older I get. And sometimes your view on something changes. And back then, I blamed the presenter because I just thought she was a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck her. How could she? And I still think it was a very nasty thing to do. But that's on her, you know? I have to take responsibility in life. And I think that's what, as whether you're a presenter or an athlete or you have a job or relationship, I think own your own shit. And my shit at that point was, okay, I didn't realize
how hard it was
and how nervous I'd be. I just didn't have the perspective on that yet and the experience. And also I was doubting a bit whether I should do it, but I was like, well, let's just try. And that's me. But sometimes I just have to calculate my risk better. And what I try to do is just whenever an opportunity comes up, I try to feel whether it works for me and what it will do for me and what the biggest risk in it is and how likely that risk is going to happen. And if I can live with the worst case scenario, then it's okay to try it, right? Especially if the chances of that happening are very small. But that's something that I learned through playing poker, and I started that after the singing thing. So just because sometimes people are afraid to do something, and I always say, well, but what's the worst thing that can happen? And then what? And then what?
Mm-hmm.
And how likely is it that that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right? And if that, you know, sometimes things won't happen like 1% of the time. Well, come on, 99% of the time, it should be fine. And if the worst case scenario is that you look like an ass, oh, well, you'll live from that, you know, like, so that makes it a bit lighter. It's just like when something really, you know, is in your heart, it can hurt, but still it's fine to sometimes feel pain, and it doesn't mean you're shit at everything. You know, you just miscalculated. Like sometimes whatever, you hit a ball on goal, you think you hit it on goal, but it's going wide, whatever.
Yeah.
Shit happens, right?
Shit does happen. And it really, yeah, that's what matters actually. Bringing it into perspective and
I
then
think so.
moving on, yeah.
But you don't do
You
that?
just,
If you fuck
I
up?
mean, in my head I do, but then my, I don't know what I should call it, the
Subconscious.
soul or the feeling or the subconsciousness doesn't always follow.
I guess that's
Yeah.
practice then.
I
Usually
hope
it's practice.
so.
So do a
Yeah.
lot of shitty things, make a lot of
Yeah,
mistakes.
perfect.
No,
Yeah.
but I know Sarina Wiegman, the coach of the
Yeah.
English girls ladies team, soccer team. She always says if you have to push your players to make mistakes because that's the way to grow.
Yes, it is.
If you're only in your comfort zone and if you
No,
only
yeah.
pass the ball to the other person without even trying one dribble or one different thing in your life, you're never going to grow. So you're going to make mistakes along the way. They're part of development.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have to embrace. That's why in these days when in sports, they don't call them mistakes, they call them learning points.
Yeah, well,
Which I always think, yeah.
it's a nice word.
But that's how you should approach it, right? And that's why now in sports, they don't focus on the result. They focus on the process, on, like, what do I have to do when I'm out there? That's the focus point, not, oh, I want to win. Oh, I have to, win for my family. Oh, what if I win? Then I might make a good transfer to that other club. No. Focus on the things you can control, and that's your behaviors on the field and the things, your tasks and your skills on the pitch.
Yeah.
And if you've done that
Yeah.
and you've done
No way.
everything, if you've done everything to prepare yourself well, then it's easier to accept the result afterwards. And that's also something that I learned in poker because you can make a lot of good decisions and you can still, I swear a lot, so I'm gonna try
Oh,
not to.
please, you can. You
But you
can.
can still get fucked,
Yeah.
like, so it's, but in the end, it's about like, okay, going back, okay, what are the steps that I took to make that decision? I had the information, I accumulated information as much as possible. And with that information, at that point in time, with the knowledge that I had, I made this decision. And as long as I followed the process I wanted to follow, I have to accept the outcome. And that's
Yeah.
with a lot of things in life. It helps a lot because a lot of people always say, oh, I regret this. No. But back then you didn't have the information you have
You
right
have
now.
today, yeah.
So the
True.
hindsight thinking is not functional. So I believe that if you've done, that's why a lot of athletes say, I've done everything I've done everything I can, and then I have to just go for it. It's like at the Olympics, the 100 meters, you run it, and then you leave it out there, and then you accept what the outcome is. And I
Yeah.
like that approach a lot.
Yeah, it sounds very healthy too.
And maybe the process wasn't right, but then you try to improve the process. You evaluate
The
also when
next
things have
time,
gone
yeah.
well. That's a lot of the time when you've succeeded, it's very hard to just keep going, but it's important to also look at, hey, but what went well and what went wrong? I think a lot of the time in teams too that I've been in, when we won the gold in Beijing, not everyone played at 100%. Not everyone was as good as they could have been. And why was that? You can always improve within the process of the team, with the coach, with yourself. But once people have won the gold, no one ever wants to talk about what went wrong.
Yeah, no, true.
And when something goes wrong,
Easier.
people usually don't want to talk about the things that went well. It's always, oh, this
Oh,
was so
yeah.
shit. Oh, it was so bad. But it's all disappointment, even though a lot of things probably went well. Just some things could have been different or could have been done differently.
Fatima, we just came to this part of our conversation because you said that's something you learned in poker. Please tell us more about how the poker career happened after field hockey, after singing. It sounds like a kind of random next career
Yeah.
step to take.
Well, as a kid, I always played games. I played cards. I played chess. I played Stratego. I love playing Canasta, which is a card game with my grandparents. And I love playing with a ball, like soccer, tennis, hockey. So for me to continue playing games in my life was very natural. So when poker came up, there was this poker hype in Holland. Don't know how it was in Germany or the rest of the world, but like in Holland in 2007, it was a big hype. And naturally, me and my boyfriend were playing as well and with friends on Friday night, just, you know, for fun or for $20 or $50, you know, like. And actually, after my hockey career, I got this phone call from a sports marketing agency asking me if I had a connection with poker. And I was like, yes, I play every Friday and I play heads up with my boyfriend. I kick his ass, you know, with sunglasses on.
Of course.
So I thought I was pretty good. And then they asked me, well, you want to have a chat with PokerStars because they're looking for sports ambassadors. They had Boris Becker back then as an ambassador. They had Alberto
Crazy
Tomba.
Lineup.
Well, later on, they had Nadal. They had Cristiano Ronaldo and Neymar.
Neymar, yeah.
Exactly. So I just threw myself into the deep. And I felt like it was a nice way for me to get away from hockey and into something that was more individually oriented, you know, because you're, you know, you have to take your own responsibility. Yeah. And I just had a deal for a year to, you know, be their sports ambassador. And then I decided to really get into it and really learn a lot about poker. And that's when I realized that I was very shit at poker.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. My first tournament was in Barcelona. And I think back then the buy-in was 10,000 euros, which PokerStars paid for me. And I sat at the table and I was on time and I was like, I'm pretty nervous about this. And I started playing. And then 45 minutes into the tournament, this German, Sandra Naujux, she was a very good player, German player. She came to the table. She sat like across from me. And we ended up playing a hand against each other. And I lost like a third of my chip stack against her. And I was like, oh my God. I'm not ready for this. I realized back, like, I'm just not ready for this. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So that's when I realized, okay, I really have to put in the hours. Like, people think it's luck, right? When they think it's gambling, they think it's luck, but there's a lot of studying that goes into it and a lot of strategy. And that's what makes it actually really fun because it's an easy game to learn, but it's a tough game to master. So there's a lot of thinking that goes behind it. And that I did that for 10 years. So I grew in that. And it also taught me a lot of, like, it gave me a lot of perspective in life and also a broader perspective internationally about people. You know, I'm from Holland. And of course, we traveled the world a bit with hockey, but the league was in Holland. So we had the Olympics and then maybe a winter trip, you know, in South Africa or once in Argentina. But with poker, I traveled, you know, so much more. Yeah. And you're at the table with all sorts of people, like from all sorts of countries. And yeah, I just, you know, one of my best friends now is a girl from, or a lady. I know we're getting older. from Barcelona, you know, like I shared the room with her many, many years. And it's just nice to broaden your perspective just, you know, internationally. So, it was a really, really valuable time. I made a lot of money in it as well, which gave me more freedom in life. But it also, I also grew as a person. So, I felt very lucky to lose and win a lot of hands in poker, you know, but especially just experience it.
If you say it gave you a broader perspective on life, do you have like a certain example maybe for us that's kind of tangible?
Well, first of all, my parents were very scared when I said that I was going to travel the world as a poker player. They were like, they're all criminals. And they saw these, you know, like when you think about the movies,
shady gamblers,
in the basement, throwing Rolexes on the table, you know, gambling their wife away, the car keys, you know, that. And then I learned that it's mostly a men's world, but a lot of young, very smart guys, you know, usually probably on the spectrum, you know, very analytical, but very calm, usually a bit introverted.
Funny.
Yeah. So, you know, it showed me that the, you know, sometimes the picture you have of something is just incorrect and it's very displayed very differently in movies. And you can't just generalize. Of course, there were some criminals, definitely. And there was this Italian fat guy who got massaged by two women at the table always. And he had a lot of hair on his back. And you saw the, you know, his ass cleavage and shit, you know. But yeah,
they were there too. Okay,
they were there too. But hey, he was very nice. Yeah, whatever. So and yeah, it just meeting different nationalities, you know, talking to smart people, a lot of smart guys around
that.
There.
Yes.
I just really liked it, and the fact that I had to learn after my hockey career, after my athletic career, that accepting, you know, like accepting the outcome. Once you've done everything you can and just making the decisions and not hindsight thinking, that's such a big thing for me in life in general. It helps me when I talk to my parents about things and making them, you know, like making decisions. It's a very handy tool.
Yeah, very hard to master. I was just talking about that. Let's just take that detour about the same thing with a friend the other day, because like making the cut, deciding when you actually reach the point where you did everything, that's really hard for me to do as well, because I'm always like, yeah, but what if I would write one more email? What if I just, I don't know, went through my LinkedIn network one more time and found that one person that can actually help me? Like, you know, I don't know where the actual limit is. Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting, and that's hard. That's hard. Mm-hmm. It's also about where you feel that your limit is. Because at some point, you should know what your limit is.
What my limit is.
And you have to set your own limit of what you're willing to do. Because in the end, you can just keep going and going and going. And at some point there's a time limit sometimes, or there's a physical limit sometimes, but the mental limit should be there as well. And it's harder to set that, I think. And that can be really tiring.
Yeah.
That can be really tiring. And if you don't know where your limit is, that's very dangerous. Well, not dangerous, but that's how people get burnouts and shit.
Yes.
So it's interesting. Because focusing on what you want can be really good, you know, and reaching a goal. But you also have to be able to put it in perspective at the same time. Because otherwise it can drive you crazy. I have a lot of people that work freelance have this problem because it's very hard to say no to work, you know. So they just keep saying yes and then they get overworked. One of my friends is constantly overworked. And then I think her living standard's pretty high. Which doesn't help.
Yeah.
It doesn't help because you have to realize, what do you really want? You know, do you want balance? Do you want to just be a working monster? You want to invest and go and go and go and go hard? Because then you can accept that you're going to be tired and more stressed. And, you know, it's all about what is the goal here? What do you want here? But if you have kids and a job and a boyfriend or a husband in a house, and you know, at some point you can't do everything at the same time at the same level, so you have to focus on something and also have time where you decompress, because you know, like it and the mental, I get that the mental health thing is hard these days because it's tough to find that balance. So, and that's for me too, like I'm someone who really wants to solve problems. And for me to stop is also hard. I don't know exactly when to stop sometimes. And sometimes like, okay, and now I'm just fucked up. I'm over it. You know, I have to stop. Or, you know, that's the hardest part. But everyone has their own limit, I think. And in life, you should learn what your limit is better and better. But I don't think there's like, because each situation is different.
Yeah, always.
But always try to look harder. But always have a bit of a helicopter view at some point. Like, you know, if you're an athlete, you're also usually in the situation all the time and you've put in so much effort into it and you want to keep going. But if you look at it from a different perspective, sometimes you'll be like, is it really going to be that useful if I write that other email? I've tried this email and okay. If and then I accept if I don't get the job, I'll just accept the fact that this was what I was willing to do. It's also with, like, I'm an only child with parents, you know, and I want to take care of them, but I can't be there every day, 5 hours a day, because I'll just go nuts. It's tough sometimes to, you know, like, be like, yeah, but I could physically be there.
Thing, yeah.
I could, but what's the consequence? Because you, at some point, I know that I'll just, won't have the energy anymore. And if you do it, you want to do it well. So I think also, if you know that you can write the, you know, I know when, what they say about when you're eating and you can't really taste what you're eating anymore, that's when you're supposedly full, you know, like then you should.
Oh, some people, I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
When you're not tasting it anymore, that's when you're full.
Yeah. When you don't.
I will have to try that.
Try that. So, yeah. So that's when, you know, like, I think when you write an email and you're, you know, good at writing and you have this idea of what you want to, you know, say, then you'll write an email and you'll, you know, think about it a couple times and you're like, yes, this is the email. Once you have to write the email and you're fucking like, oh, whatever, I got to do this. That's the point where it's not that functional anymore, because it's not going to come across well. You know, your mind is you know, like filled up. So it can't, you know, your processor is in overdrive. I think that's the part where you have to say, okay, this is it. This is my limit. Stop.
That's good, yeah.
Stop eating.
Stop eating, stop pushing, stop trying so hard, stop running.
Yeah, and it has to do with confidence as well.
It has to come with confidence?
No, it has to do with confidence as well.
Oh, it does, yeah. Boundary setting, not easy.
You're always enough.
Hey, what?
Head coach.
Oh, I like that. Yes, head coach. While you were saying that last bit that I really liked, I felt like you're coaching me a little bit as well. And the head coach is one of our categories here in the podcast. And, you know, you sound very wise and that you've been through all the experiences and all the fields yourself. Has there ever been a person or a thing in your life, or is there until today, that is acting for you in your life like a head coach would?
Yes, my boyfriend.
Mm.
I'm so lucky that we learn a lot from each other, and I've learned so much from him. He was a tennis player, and I always like was amazed, like after a match, after he lost, and of course he'd be disappointed, he would be able to say, yeah, I just played like shit. I was just really bad. I did this badly and that badly. And he was so, and it didn't hurt his ego, it seemed like, you know, he was very good at, and he's also very good at saying, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't do that well. You know, I made a mistake.
Yeah, wow.
He was so good at taking responsibility and owning his own shit and being my boyfriend and my partner, but not just always backing me because he was my boyfriend and partner, but still being honest about who he think, you know, what he thinks about my actions, like telling me, hey, you're interrupting me like all the fucking time when I'm having a conversation with someone. That's not very nice. even if you mean well, and even if you want to lighten up the conversation. So he is my mirror, basically.
Yes.
My behavioral mirror. And he's still a very safe place where I can just be me. And I know he'll still love me, even if I do interrupt him sometimes still.
I love that.
So, yeah, that it's nice to have someone in life that is not afraid to tell you the truth, but in a very nice way. He's very good at picking the words. Way.
And I said in a very safe way. Yeah.
In a very safe way. And he taught me, because I'm pretty feisty, so I was very good at direct communication, you know, poom, 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 poom. And in the beginning of our relationship, we fought frequently about things. And at some point he was like, you're just fucking like punching me into a corner with your words. And, you know, I had studied law and I was like, it feels like this lawyer's coming at me. And it was really hard, because I was like, this is exactly what happened with my first boyfriend when I was like, and this and this and that and that. And it's like, why aren't you saying anything? Well, why do you think I'm not saying anything? you know, I wouldn't leave any room. And it's when I realized that I can say my truth, but the way I say my truth and the words I pick to say my truth and the intonation of my voice, the sound, you know, like if I'm high pitched and fucking, you know, going at him, the message won't come in as well. And it's about delivery. And he taught me to think about what the goal is of my my story. Exactly. Yeah. What do I want to achieve here? Do I want to achieve that he's like in the corner, scared, frustrated? Or do I want to get somewhere to a solution, which is actually what I want?
Usually.
So if it's just venting and getting out your emotions, it's usually better to just, you know, like wait a little bit and not get it all out, you know, because the message won't come across. I learned that from him. I'm very happy he taught me that, because we're very chill in our relationship now too. We've been together for a long time, but I still value that a lot.
Yeah, the way you said he's your mirror, and at the same time, I mean, I said the word safe, but then you said it or confirmed.
Do you have a relationship? Do you have a relationship?
No. And the mirror thing is a big thing, especially when you're doing your own stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need someone to be like, this is what you do all the time. And the safety part about it.
I love you anyway.
That's the key.
I love you anyway.
That's the key, exactly.
Because he always says, I know you. Like, he knows my intentions.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
He knows. Valuable. He always says, you're a good one. You know, you're a good girl. I'm just a good one. Yeah, I want him to flourish in life. I want him to do well. He knows that. So then I have those credits, you know? It's not like whenever I say something when he's talking, it won't be like, oh my God, there she goes again. It's not like that.
Yeah.
But I like that we can be each other's mirror, you know? So I'm really, it's very helpful to have someone who has your back, but also, you know?
Yeah, wants you to flourish as well. I guess that's why the mirror is necessary or coming out at all. Yeah. Love that. Great hack, coach. Happy for you.
Thank you.
Listen, we have two more categories and you get to pick.
Oh, really?
Which one? Yes. Which one would you like to proceed with?
Your left hand.
This one. We have the shootout in here. That's a little quick question round, rapid fire kind of thing. And I mean rapid fire. You can answer longer if you want
to. What was in the other one, though?
We will do that after. Oh. It's not an either or. We'll do the both.
Oh, good.
Yes. All right, rapid fire first. You ready?
I'm ready.
In any type of competition, are you rather the calm, the rage, or the banter, Fatima?
Banter.
100%. I was imagining that. Yes. On the field hockey pitch as well?
Yes, 100%.
You would always like chat and give your opponents.
Oh yeah, chat, and then let's put pressure on the right back there because she's shit, you know. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, use the dominance.
But effective.
Yes, very effective. She'd be like, good, 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 good. She wasn't that bad, but yeah.
Then the right back was shit, probably.
Yeah, she became shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about all your different careers, not so much about the paddle one, but that's still out there. Of all your careers, which one is or was your favorite?
It's hard to pick because they suited my life at that time.
But, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but field hockey was my first love, so it was unconditional because you don't think about the heartbreak yet, right? So I loved it and it just went very fluently, you know, it just organically developed without ever really thinking about decisions. You know, you're a kid when you start playing and then you just love something and then a hobby becomes something bigger and bigger. So I think, you know, just the part of also socialization, you know, with my teammates. I've had such an amazing time with them and learned so much. You know, just being with like-minded people that want to achieve the same thing is very special.
So you would say field hockey because first love?
Yes.
Okay.
For field hockey,
nice one.
Yeah.
Good pick. Are you the type who rather plans her future, or are you rather always going with the flow?
I go with the flow, but have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel okay going with the flow. But I don't plan like ahead. I just
get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
a
mix.
I mean, it's interesting looking at your CV. I said that before. I don't know any better expression.
Yeah.
But it's like every single of your steps are lifetime goals for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are some people who would die, like they would give an arm and a leg to be a pro athlete, who would, you know, get the chance to be a singer or pro poker player or paddle or singer, you know. It's just wild that all these possibilities popped up.
I do things that I don't think I'm made for one thing in life. I don't think anyone is made for one thing in life. So I explore my options and I do things that feel right to me, that I know I can do pretty well and then I could develop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my biggest skill, though, is that I'm good at learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
I love to learn and I love to learn new things. So learning curve is pretty steep, so I'm good picking up something, and then if I like it, I'll want to invest in it a lot, and because I have time to invest in it, I get reasonably good at it. And then it's a combination of factors that, because I'm well known in Holland, it also becomes a career path.
That's interesting. Yeah. And it actually fits the next question, because on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you prioritize fun?
Oh, 8 or 9?
Yeah, because that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
You just listen
to... Yeah, maybe
to...
I was almost going to say 10, but like, yeah, there has to be some restraint,
yeah.
I guess. But yeah.
That's kind of what you're going with, no?
Yes. Yeah, that's the basis. Yeah, yeah. So even like I'm talking to this clothing brand that wants sports clothing brand, and they want me and na-na-na. It's like, yeah, but I play paddle. I do it to enjoy myself. So I have to have a racket that I like, or I won't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, you know, the fun has to stay in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So 8 or 9. Next one kind of goes with that too. Can you live without competition though?
Well, competition is within me. I think I don't need anyone else for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because even as a kid, I would go outside and hit a ball with a tennis racket against the wall. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would try to get to 100. That's competition too, right? Like,
yeah, it is, kind of.
It's about development for me. So I guess it's so within my core that I couldn't live without that, because I just always want to improve. That's my internal competition.
I like that. Keep learning, keep growing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that's competition in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, because a lot of the time people think that because I was an athlete and I played poker, I always want to win. But
mm-hmm.
winning to me is becoming better and doing something that I couldn't do before.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really nice. Next one goes a little bit off course here. Do you enjoy more being the host of a show or the guest of a show?
That's interesting. That's an interesting one. It's more chill to be the guest because I can just improvise. It's more fun. But I do like what you have to do if you're the host, and you have to be a bit more, you know, like thinking ahead and nah. But I think I'm a good host, but I'm a great guest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
free and fun.
Yeah.
And you said earlier you're loud and talkative. I like that too.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid to just put my opinion out there and be vulnerable, you know? No. Like, so yeah, I think I'm better as a guest. Yeah.
Like that. And the last one would be, what's the next thing or skill that you would want to learn?
Well, that's something in padel, obviously. Like, I want to hit the ball in between my legs when it comes from the glass consistently. I've done it several times, but I can't do it consistently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to be able, I love tricks. I just, you know, one point in my life, I wanted to be able to juggle balls, you know, like three balls when I was 12 or something. And then I spent one night just trying it. And then in the morning I was able to, you know,
that's cool.
I love mastering skills. Yeah, exactly. Mastering skills. It's like diving from, you know, like into the pool and then backwards or whatever. Yeah. That's what I used to do as a kid as well. My mom would be scared as shit, but yeah. I just love
but
mastering
you made it.
Shit. Yeah, I made
you
it.
You made it.
I broke my teeth. No, it's fun. No, it never happened. That happened in hockey, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. All right. That was our rapid fire round. And that brings us, also looking at the time, we chatted away a lot of the time here. This is a German word, Einwurf.
Einwurf.
Kind of like the throw-in. I wouldn't know the Dutch one, yeah, but you got it. And the throw-in is always the category where I have my guests pick a topic, you know, sports-related or not, that they can give a stage to here.
Okay, well, what I would like to give a stage to is rescue dogs or rescue cats. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, we have our dog Lila. She's from Lesbos. And what I find is that online, you see a lot of people saying, adopt, don't shop. I'm not that kind of person. I just want to make people aware. Oops, your phone is falling out. I just want that people are aware that of the fact that there are a lot of puppies in Romania, in Greece, in Portugal, in Spain, in Italy, that are born on the streets because they don't castrate the animals out on the street, dogs and cats, and that there's a lot of puppies that you can adopt. And I know that people love puppies and they don't want to, usually are having have a tougher time rescuing older dogs, which would be great too, because there's a lot of dogs that are just in a shelter for a long time. But I just want to make people aware that it's a very nice way to help out and have a lot of love in your house. And even though, I'm receiving another package, maybe dog food. Maybe it's dog food. No, I want to advocate like the fact that there's a lot of stray dogs and cats in Europe, like, and in the States as well, by the way, but anywhere in the world, like, and because they don't get castrated, there's a lot of puppies that need rescuing. And a lot of people in Holland are used to buying a dog and getting, I love dachshunds and I love golden retrievers, and I think they have every right, you know, to live on this earth as well. But I'm not the kind of person that will say adopt, don't shop, but consider adopting as well. It's also an option. And there's so many organizations that work very hard in countries like Romania, Greece, Portugal, Spain, and Italy that are very good and that can provide a lot of help to those dogs and also bring a lot of love into your home.
That's so lovely. When did you guys first decide to adopt?
Well, we looked after a dachshund of my friend a lot. Bubbles was her name. She always slept under the covers. A lot of dachshunds love that. And unfortunately, she died at the age of 8. And then her mom, rescued a dog from Spain, Dizzy. And because she's a journalist, she had a work trip planned to the U.S. But she really wanted to adopt Dizzy. And she asked me, because I was always looking after her former dog, if I could take care of Dizzy for the first 10 days she was in Holland. And I did. And I fell in love with Dizzy right away. She was such a sweet dog.
Cute.
And I looked after her in my friend's home because that's where she was going to be. So I felt like, well, it's better to be there. And that kind of got me into rescue dogs. And so when we were planning on having a dog, we looked at the same organization that Dizzy came from. And we got our first dog, Pookie, right before COVID started. And it was like in October 2019. And we had this amazing time with her because we were at home a lot and she was amazing. We went to the beach with her every day. And unfortunately, she got a brain tumor, so we had to put her to sleep. Mm-hmm. But quite soon after that, I was looking online and we found Lila from Lesbos. So she's been with us for 2 years. But yeah, more than 2 years now. And it's just, yeah, a lot of unconditional love and joy. So yeah, I'm a big advocate for stray dogs and cats.
Lovely. And a very important topic, too, that we actually have had in the podcast before with Rachel DeMita, an American basketball personality who brought up the same topic. So,
oh, really?
Thanks for that. Yes. I hope someone will hear the call and maybe reconsider adopting. That would be really cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And Fatima, we actually got to the end of our interview here. It was so cool. Thank you so much. I personally took so much out of this myself. And I hope all the girls and maybe boys who listened will as well. The last thing that you get to do today and that every guest on this show does is give a little pep talk to our audience, because this is what matters to me so much, to, you know, motivate the next generation of girls coming into the sports industry or whoever is listening to this to get a little push towards their goals and dreams. What is it that you would tell them?
Dare to be different. Just be authentic. Try to be your most authentic self. Try to have the confidence to be that, because that's the most beautiful way you can be. And don't compare yourself too much to other people that are, in your eyes, more successful, prettier, smarter, dumber, whatever. Just don't compare yourself, but live your life up to your standards. And don't try to be normal. Just, you know, be you and try to enjoy the things you do. Because if you enjoy them, you'll do them longer, you'll be better at them, you'll be more passionate in life, you'll find more people that are like-minded. It brings you on a nicer path in life. But also try to keep perspective. If things don't go your way, try to find a solution and always try to accept the result, because there's nothing more you can do in the end if the result is there anyways. Just try to learn from it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Fatima. This was a great hour with you.
Good. Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you. A lot about myself and my perspectives, but maybe we'll talk sometime about you, you know?
Maybe. Thank you so much, though.